No? Yep. Okay. Well, I'm glad somebody came back. I heard the rumor that they said the sooner we get rid of that guy, the better we'll all feel. So.
What did you hear?
A little bird told me. Bird call. All right. It was good to see all of you this morning. We're having pizza right after church now. Call your friends, get on the phone, dial them, text them, say, hey, we're having pizza. Doug's got pizza for at least 40 or 50 people, and Bev told me how many, 26, she thought. So we're short. So we need more pizza eaters. So if you have family at home or friends at home or the dog at home, you might want to call them, have them drive down. Maybe not the dog. You might want to some help for the dog. Next week, I really want all of you here. It might be the last one or two sermons I have before the calling of the new pastor, which would be wonderful. And we're going to really get down to the crux of the whole thing. We're going to really come after it. So next Sunday is a big Sunday. I got all three of my boys coming home with their families, so we're going to have them here. But we have really enjoyed our time here with you, and we thank you, and we thank the board members for asking us to come. And I visit with Dwayne once a week, and yesterday he told me when he called, he said, make sure you have a Supreme pizza for me, he said, when I get back. So I said, of course I will. You all know Dwayne, you know, he had that great sense of humor. So this morning we're going to be in John 9, 1 through 33, and we're going to talk about the light. There's a problem with light. Light always shines out. Have you ever noticed that? The question I always remember from college is, where does the light go? Where does the dark go when the light comes on? Ever wondered about that? You walk in a dark room, hit the button, and the dark runs away. And then you have the light. The real question about light is, are you light? Are you light? We're all very good at judging others, right? We're all very good at judging how much light, you know, how much light's in my wife depends on how she obeys me and how she does what I tell her to do. So people are really good with light as long as they're the ones shining it on your problems. The light of the world said you have to be light. You've got to be light. And so this morning we're going to get into that. Last night we were at a wedding, set across the table from a Catholic and a Lutheran. They're married to each other, but they're different denominations. I started preaching to them. They asked me a question. I started preaching. She bumps me with her arm and rolls her eyes and says, not here. Well, guess what? It got pretty intense. Got pretty intense. And the man says to me, what does it mean to be born again? I said, this is what it means. He said, well, I thought I was born again if I went to church. Wow. So next Sunday, read John 3 this week. You read John 3 and you put your name in there. Don't put Nicodemus's name in there. You put your name in there. And let's see how that works out next week. How's that? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask now that you bless each one that's here, that you bless your word to our hearts, Lord, that you speak to us through your word, by your Holy Spirit, through your Son who gave his life for us and died for us, and by grace we're saved through our faith, not by our works. Help us, Lord, to remember we're not a works church, we're a grace church. And anyone that attends a church that doesn't believe in grace doesn't believe in too much. Father, we ask this morning that you bless each one according to the work you've called them to do, that they might respond and live and do the work you've called them to do. Father, we need that in this world today, in a time of change of heart. We're seeing a change of heart in people. We're seeing a revolution in faith come to our country. And I've always said, and I still preach it today, that there's two nations God blesses, Israel and America. Israel because they're his chosen people, and America because there are still a remnant of true believers and those who pray. Help us, Father, to be that remnant of prayers and believers, that you will not forget us, just as Sodom and Gomorrah could not be destroyed till Lot left that town. So it is with America. It will not be destroyed because there are still a remnant of believers here. Father, help us to be those believers, trust in you. We pray for our president, and we pray for our future president. And we ask, Lord, that you bless those who even try to kill him, that somehow they would be saved. There's still the opportunity for salvation for them. There's opportunity for those who hate, Lord, in this country. And it's so sad what's going on right around us in Wayne, Nebraska this morning. So sad that one person would turn the whole city of Wayne into just a desperate place. And so we ask now, Lord, that you change his heart and his wife's heart toward these detrimental things they're doing. We ask, Lord, that you bless those folks in Wayne. We pray, Father, for our government here in the state of Nebraska. We pray for those who lead the town of Norfolk and the towns around us, Lord, that they'd be true leaders, not just in name only. Help us, Lord. And again, Lord, we pray for all these countries, the Chinese, the Iranians, the Venezuelans, all these communist countries, Russia, who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they may come to know him through those who are able to witness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 9:1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Excuse me. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore, said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? He that hath opened thine eyes, he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. Well, what an admission. This is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Don't ask us, ask him. We don't want to be put out of the synagogue. We don't want any trouble with the priests. We don't want any trouble with the Pharisees or Sadducees. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner, Jesus, or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that where I was blind, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. I mean, he's getting frustrated now. And you did not hear. How many of you ever had that happen with your wife or your husband? Huh? You're not listening to me. I have told you already, and you would not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Do you want to hear more about Jesus? Would you like to be his disciples, my friends, Levites, Pharisees, Sadducees? You want to be his disciples? That's why you keep asking. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Amen. There you go. There's my girl in the front row. She's giving it to me. That's what you should do. Amen. The Bible says if we let the amen out, we've lost a lot. The Holy Spirit can't work without the amen because that's the approval of what the pastor is teaching. Isaiah 2:5, and this is my sermon this morning. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Man, what a verse. We should all walk in the light of the Lord, in the light of the Word, if we're true Christians. If we say we're Christians, then we ought to have light inside us that shines out. We've had several incidents in our lives where someone has treated us badly and we have gone out of our way to do even more good to them. We were doing good to them before, but then we went out of our way and did even more good. My wife, sometimes she questions me on that, and I say, the Bible is clear. If you want to put coals of fire on someone's head, do more good to them than you would ever have thought to do before. Let your light so shine that when men see you, they go, that is a different Jeff. That is a different Linda. She's different. She's so loving. She's so kind. He's so caring. They give more than they have. They care more for one another. If Jesus isn't in you, you are darkness. You are darkness. You don't mind talking about people behind their back. Huh. Did you hear about Sharon? Yeah. Well, can I hear a little more about Sharon? I'd like to hear just a little more. Lie, cheat, steal. That's darkness in us. That's the dark in us. When you have said to me, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, I have asked him into my heart, I've repented of my sins, he is now my Lord and Savior, that means the light that healed this man's eyes now dwells in you. You are to be the temple of God. You are to have the light shining out. How many of you remember the lighthouse on the shore, right? The light was in the top, right? And they sent signals, 2 by 9, 3 by day or whatever. 3 lights keep blinking, then you know there's bad shoreline, there's storms at the shoreline, don't come in. Does your light so shine that when men and women see you, they go, man, if I could be like them, if I could be like them. We came out of the Sam's up at Sioux City this week, and we were holding hands and giggling with each other, which we do all the time. She always picks on me a lot, you know, and you just, after a while, you just have to laugh at yourself, you know. This lady standing there by the door, and she said, you two are acting like lovers. I said, we are. She said, how do you hold it together? How do you keep it together? Sharon said, married 54 years. It's been like this every day of the 54 years. I said to her, because we, each one of us, love the other one more than we love ourselves. If you will love your partner more than you love yourself, the light shines. The light shines. I'm a pest with her at home. I'm a pure pest. What do you need? What do you want? Can I get you a Pepsi? Can I get this for you? Can I get that for you? To the point she's like, okay, enough's enough. God doesn't call us to tell others what to do and how to live their lives and straighten yourself out, Jeff. I'm not picking on anyone here today. I need people in the audience I can talk and they'll giggle back. That's what I'm after. Let your light so shine that when others see you, they say, there's the Father's light in him or her. Man, you just can't go wrong. How can you lose to God who promises you all this when you just shine a little bit? Psalm 119, 130. I will try not to be overly long today. I know I always run long. The pizza will be here at quarter till, actually. Oh, I've got a lot of time, don't I, Jeff?
Plenty of time.
Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Boy, you know, when you say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins, come into my heart. That's what I told this guy last night and his wife. I said, that's the prayer of forgiveness. That's the prayer of salvation. You have to start with your sins. Lord, forgive me for my sins. And admit that you're a sinner. Now, some people are not sinners. They tell you how to live your life, tell you where to go, what to do, straighten you out, because we need to straighten you out. Me, I'm fine, but the rest of you, we got to straighten out. See, that's the trouble. There's no light in that person. Because they have too much pride. They're prideful people. Say, I know what's best for you. That's pride. 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want you all this week, would you just do this for me? Would you read Psalm 51? Would you read Psalm 51? Maybe read it twice. And then come ready for next week. That is the most unbelievable psalm I have ever read in my life. I read them all, and that's the one that I came back to this week, and I was like, unbelievable. Psalm 51 is such a strong set of verses for us as Christians, and we need it so badly. A light. How many of you ever have trouble at home with the lights? Anybody ever? Yeah. And you start walking, right? You get out of your chair, you start walking toward the kitchen, and bonk, you hit your head on the wall and can't find the light switch. And it's so easy when the light's on, isn't it? But when the light's off, it's really dark. I mean, it's so dark sometimes it's darker here than it is at our place, you know? Supposed to be a joke. You didn't get it. Okay. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, this Bible, it is because there is no light in them. When you correct someone, do this favor for yourself. Find the scripture. Use the scripture. Husbands, love your wives. It's in the Bible, isn't it? Wives, honor your husbands. It's not happening in my house. Crazy goofball bought that boat last week. We've got to learn to love each other. Love each other. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I told this couple we were sitting across from last night, you must be born again. And he said, I am born again. I go to confession. He says, what do you mean? I said, you must ask God to forgive your sins, invite Jesus Christ into your heart, or you cannot be born again. Born again is by the Spirit. Get into that again next week. If you're not born again, folks, you're just out here wandering around. You don't have a light in you, and you don't have a light to hold on to. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Apply that principle. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is it thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? You are the light of the world. Don't you see? Jesus said, while I'm here, I'm the light in the darkness. When I ascend, the Holy Spirit will descend. And when he comes, he says he will fill you with light. So some of you have a bunch of light in you, but it's not coming out real good. It's kind of seeping out the corner a little bit here and there. Right? You are the light of the world. So come on now. He's gone. You're here. He's in you. That's what you tell us. He's in me, baby. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Boy, that's for sure. The higher the light gets, the lighter it gets. Neither do men light a candle. In other words, do they receive Christ? Neither do you put the Holy Spirit in you and put yourself under a bushel. You see, the real mark of Christianity is this. Are you able to go somewhere and tell people about Jesus? Don't talk about Jesus at a wedding. Oh, no. They got the full load last night. And I wasn't, and it was loud, so I'm screaming at them. I'm screaming. There she goes. See, when she does this, that means I'm in a lot of trouble. She goes like this. That's a signal, Doug, you're in trouble. I said to them, I said, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you are. I mean, I'm yelling like that. Thanks for coming last week. Did you enjoy it? Even though you were on the spot all the time, you were there. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel and put it on a candlestick. It gives light unto all them that are in the house. Man, don't you see? When you are light, you light up the house. How many of you remember that story? Whoopi Goldberg was in that show. What was it? Purple. The color purple. And if any of you saw that show, you remember that they couldn't wait for the one lady to come. Can't remember her name in the show. But when she came, do you remember? How many of you saw it? Maybe none of you even saw it. I don't know. But when she showed up, everyone was happy. Everyone couldn't wait to see her. Everyone wanted to talk to her. Why? Because she brought light to a very difficult place. They were slaves, they were poor, they had nothing. But when she showed up, they all were just different people. Wouldn't it be sweet if we showed up someplace and people said, hey, there's the light of the world right there, baby. He walked in, she walked in, and things changed here because there's something in here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, that's what you ought to do. You ought to bring glory to God. They'll look at you and say, man, that's a godly woman. That's a godly man. Or do they say something else? John 3, 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation. Okay, this is why we're condemned, it says. That light is come into the world, that's Jesus, and men loved darkness rather than light. They just love darkness. Can't wait to get to the casino. Can't wait to take a shot of whiskey. Can't wait to smoke that cigarette. You know, all the things that take us away from God. Doesn't matter what sin it is. It can be any sin you have in your life. It can be your dog, your cat, your house, your car, your home on the beach, or whatever. Whatever takes your time away from God is your God. And men love darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. A lot of people I know, and I got a good friend here in Norfolk, and he always says to me, one of these days I'm coming to Jesus. I know you're after me to come to Jesus, but he said, I still got a lot of drinking to do and chasing around to do and a lot of honoriness to do, and then I'll come. Then I'll show up, Doug. I'll call you and you come to my house and lead me to Jesus. I said, that's not going to work that way. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. They're found in God. In other words, as we show that light, it shows that we're in God and God's in us. Are you showing that light to your kids, your wife, to your neighbor, to your dog, to your cat? John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's why the Word of God is so important. Do you live by this book, or do you just live by what you think the Bible says? This is what I think it says. Talk to a lot of Christians, boy, they're hard. They're hard people. There's not a lot of light there. John 9, 5. John 9, 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So as long as he was here, he was the light. But now what happened? Now he's saying, you're the light. You need to be the light. You need to be what I was. Love one another. Forgive one another. I'll never forget. You remember those days when you were younger and there's still somebody back there in your past that you still hate those people? Oh, I can think of a few. Our star athlete at Pierce, a guy named Larry Hafner, he was on the state team that was finished second state championship down there when he was back in the 64, I think it was, 63. And he's a big shot up in Pierce, you know, and everybody bows down to him, and I have coffee with him every morning. But when I was a kid, we were at the theater, me and this other kid. We had a theater in Pierce at that time, and so this friend of mine and I are sitting there together, and we're two rows behind him and his girlfriend. And we're laughing and we're carrying on and all this stuff. And he gets up out of his chair, comes back, and he said, if you two don't shut up, I'm going to take you outside and beat the... Starts with an S and ends with a T. Out of the two of you guys. Here's the star of our town, you know, so we're just like... He came over to sell us peaches a year or two ago. I said to his wife, I said, I ought to punch him right now in the mouth. She said, why? I said, because of this story. She said, oh, he's not the same guy anymore. Well, of course not. He's 80 years old. He's not going to be the same guy. But you see, we think people change because of their age and because of time. They mellow out, they're not as nasty, and that's all good. But it doesn't mean there's more light in their heart. It doesn't mean Jesus is active in their lives. It just means old age has taken a lot away from them. Right? Luke 11:33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, puts it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. What he's saying is that once you become in Jesus, you have to have light. Why would you even ask Jesus into your heart? I remember a time when everyone wanted Jesus in their life because they thought that meant prosperity. We could be rich. We could get rich if we were Christian. We'd be Christian. We'd be rich. There's no truth to any of that. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. In other words, you have a singleness. You're on Jesus every morning when you get up. I think it was T.C. Studd or one of those other missionary guys. 2 hours every day he studied the Bible. 2 hours he studied the Bible, 1 hour he prayed every day. That was his everyday occurrence. But on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. How do you see the world? How do you see the world? Do you see the world in darkness? Is it a dark place to you and that's okay? Because it is dark, I can do this, I can get away with that, I can... Or is the world a place of light? I don't see it in real light most of the time. Or is the light in you and you see the world through the Holy Spirit by Christ? Is that how you see the world? Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. What he's saying is you can fool the people some of the time and you can fool all the people. Well, how's that go, Susanna? You can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. See, when we're all together, oh, thank you, Sonia. Oh, thank you so much. And I see Sonia down at Walmart, and I go, I didn't see her. See, we're like darkness and light. We're like, we want to be both sides. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. In other words, now my whole body should be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Isn't that cool? God says, I want to give you light. I'm going to give you light if you'll just trust my Son with your eternal soul. Like Jeff and I were talking before. It's not Jesus Christ plus good works. It's not Jesus Christ I gave money. It's not Jesus Christ I did this for the church. It's not Jesus Christ and I did the, I cooked for him. It's Jesus Christ, period. Grace by faith. Grace by faith. There's nothing else. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and it is a ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Okay? So as Christians, these are things we must not allow to come into our lives. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. I'll fool them on this. My neighbor, 89 years old, came out of his house the other day and he said, got my car fixed down at, I won't say which one it was here in town, cost me $2,500 and then it didn't work. And then I took it back and now they don't know if they can fix it. He said, do you think they're trying to cheat me out of my money? I don't know. I don't know anything about it. See, he thinks they're crafty down there. They're figuring out a way to get more money out of him, see. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Oh boy, how many pastors haven't we seen do that? There are about 13 of them that I counted by studying each one of them. Each one of them says, if you give God $1, he'll give you $1 million back. How many get that phone call on your phone right now? It's going around. Anybody get that one? I had it on mine. She had it on hers. The guy says, I just came into $700 million inheritance, and I'm giving it away, and I'm giving you $700,000, but you need to first of all send me $1,000 so I can wire you the $700,000. Well, my wife, of course, instantly did that. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's why we have trouble with them, is they're lost. And then they don't want to believe something else. They're real happy in their own pudding. Real happy just sitting right there in the mud. As long as you don't push me to do this or push me to do that, then I'm happy with my religion. I told the man last night when he talked to me about certain things, I said, this is your religion, isn't it? What do you mean, my religion? I go to church. I said, no, it's your religion. It's not what the Bible teaches us God is. It's what you believe he is. It's what you believe you want him to be. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Right here. He got to be here. If he's not here, you don't have him. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We serve anyone, we serve God by the grace of Jesus Christ's resurrection and paying the price for our salvation. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's Jesus, has shined in our hearts when we receive him to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Walk in the light of the Lord. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Walk in the light of the Lord. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, okay? So he has to live in us, otherwise we're not treasures in earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't that great? You can't take any credit for it. Jeff and I were talking before. You can't, if your testimony starts with I, then you're not saved. I go to church. I give my money. I sing in the choir. I teach Sunday school. I'm a preacher. You're lost. God gets the glory. Period. There's no one else gets the glory for the work at this church or the work at the next church or the work in the missionary field. And the closer you get to God, the more you say, it's his work, it's not my work. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Can you understand that? He moves us from this position on earth to this position in heaven. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior is the moment you're translated into eternity in glory forever. Nobody can take you out of this relationship. You're in Christ, and Christ is in God, and you can't be taken out of that. You're eternally saved. Oh, yeah, well, you don't know. Yeah, I do know, because that's what his promise is. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You have to learn to stand on these words in the Bible. You've got to learn to trust these words. They're Jesus' words. They're God's words. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The story in the Old Testament that I won't get to long as, I mean, I won't have enough time to do sermons, but one great story in the Old Testament, it talks about the walls of the temple. And in the story, it represents the minds of the leadership, the priests. And it says, I dug a hole. I can't remember if it was Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, I dug a hole in the wall. And he said, I could not believe the contemptible evil things in their minds. This week I spent a good 2.5 hours studying the Catholic Church in regards to the financing of the Catholic Church. They had a man that was in charge of their financing back in the, I don't know what year it was, many years ago, maybe in the late 1800s. He took all their money, $760 million the Vatican had, and he put it in a bunch of investments. They all went broke. And they were broke again. Now, if you check church history there, they were broke when Pius X was in there because he messed around, spent it all, threw it all away. And so they went to penances in advance. So how many of you know, I'm getting a little long here, but I think I got 5 more minutes. They sold penance in advance. So penance in advance means you could walk in the back of the church and they had a box back there. And if you planned on sinning, if you plan on sinning this week, if you plan on having an affair or something, you know, you just drop $200 in the box and just walk right on by and you're good to go. And so that's how the Catholic Church made so much money. They sold penance in advance. Then they come up with this idea in heaven of these different levels of forgiveness. True story. Jerry Krajicek, our neighbors out at the farm. Her father had passed away, and I saw her a month or two later, and I said, where are you going or something? She said, I'm going down and pray Dad out of purgatory. I said, you're going to pray Dad out of purgatory? She said, yeah, we got to keep praying to get him out of there. I said, what does it cost? She said, well, it costs, you know, a chunk. I said, well, what if I want to go down? Just asking now, don't get mad. What if I want to go down and pray him back in? How many dollars is that going to cost me? Well, you don't do that, she said. Well, maybe I want to. Don't you see how goofy that is? Get going, Doug. Shut up. Right, Mom? Yabba dabba do. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Finally, he closes. 1 John 1. 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, that's Jesus. And I bear witness, he said, and I saw him, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, now God takes on the form of man and comes to be on the earth with us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I just hate it when people say, why did God? Why did God? Why did God? We have all lost someone. I lost my brother when we were kids. I lost my parents. I lost good friends in high school. We've all had losses. But I never blame God, because sin is what lurks. Sin is all around us. God has a plan. No, he doesn't have a plan for me. He does. He does. The verse that came to me when my brother died, I remember exactly. It said, there will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Well, that's Jesus Christ. Closer than my brother was to me. right? And then I have all of you, all my Christian friends, which are like family to me now. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The man that went to this church. None of you know him. Well, some of you know him. I'll say that. Some of you know him. He came to me one day after Sunday school class. We had Sunday school class back over that direction. He came to me after we had our Sunday school. He said, I will never go to heaven. I said, why not? Because I cheated on my wife, and God will never forgive me for that. I said, he will forgive you for that. No, he won't. He said, his mind made up. It wasn't going to happen. See, he's not going to turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. He's just going to trust himself and all that. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why people will not accept that, I don't know. They want to hold on to just a couple sins because then they can stay in that dark pool, right? Stay in that dark pool and keep swimming around in there. Confess all your sins. You'll forgive all your sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask now you bless us and you bless Kenny and Donna Chapman, Lord. We hate to hear that news. We pray, Lord, that you'll take care of Bob Shetta. We ask, Lord, that you be with any other sick and ill in our church this morning, that you may bless them with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where's my man at?